News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on Mobile Mornings with Quinn Hillier from quinnhillier.com and the Washington Examiner. There's a number of things we can get to this morning, Quinn, including the fact that it is Constitution Day. Today is Constitution Day, Dalton.
237 years, is that right, Quinn?
That is right. Happy Constitution Day, everybody. You know, people should be as happy with Constitution Day as they are with the 4th of July. In fact, I would rather just get rid of Labor Day and make Constitution Day the holiday.
Wow. Okay. So
I endorse that. I like that.
What is this actually? What is this? Was the day that the Constitution final draft or what?
This is when the Constitutional Convention, which was just a miraculous, it was a miraculous meeting that overcame unbelievable obstacles. When the Constitutional Convention decided that, yes, this was the document they wanted to put before the states, and 39 of the delegates, all but three of them, signed it and said we were going to send it to the people to ratify this new government.
Wow. And, you know, over those 237 years, the Constitution, unfortunately, has grown of less and less importance to a pretty wide swath of American citizens. I mean, they come up with stats every year on one of these more recent ones. I can't remember the number, but I know Dan and I looked at each other when it ran on the news yesterday, and they said like 10% of college graduates can't name all three branches of the federal government, or it might have been something even more damning than that.
They said, and it was a portion of the people that took the survey that thought that Judge Judy was on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, Judge Judy on the Supreme Court. I mean, colleges, these people go into debt. Yours truly. Can't even tell you the first thing about the founding of America or our Constitution or anything. It's a real problem.
It's a very big problem, and I will go so far as to say this. Look, nobody expects, you know, most Americans to be able to give you chapter and verse and granular detail of the Constitution. But if you can't at least get the basics about it, if you don't understand the basics and can't talk about them, you're a bad citizen. And that just, I just probably made myself unpopular with a lot of listeners, but you are not a good citizen if you don't take the time, and it doesn't take long, to learn at least the basics about how this Constitution and
There's nothing wrong with calling people bad citizens because they don't know. That's all right.
And in your professional opinion, Quinn, who was the last president, who's been the most, I guess, constitutionalist of the presidents over the last few decades? I don't know if you have to go further back than that. And is it possible for a candidate to run on basically abiding by the Constitution as closely as it was written and actually have a successful campaign? Is that even possible these days, or do they have to promise the moon and the stars to everyone?
It's definitely possible. And look, I think for the most part, W abided by the Constitution. He was nowhere near my favorite president, but he abided by the Constitution, I think, and clearly Reagan did. Everybody is going to have some issues at the margins that are controversial, or that, you know, did this or did this not strictly comport with the Constitution. But for the most part, American presidents, not recently, but, you know, over the years, have more done so than not, have more followed it than not. Now you go back to Woodrow Wilson, and he trampled all over it, but that's 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So I've read an article from you, Quinn, about issues. We talk about this a lot, Dalton, too. I've got to give ourselves little props, but more to you than really even me or the listeners. There's so many things that are being ignored in these debates, or minimized in these debates, as being major issues.
Yeah, right. And, there's the obvious ones, like I still can't believe fentanyl wasn't mentioned once during the debate on last Tuesday, although there was a lot of talk about immigration, which is kind of tied into that. But there's other issues that maybe aren't so sexy that the candidates don't want to bring up for obvious reasons. But Quinn, you wrote about some issues that are being ignored by both campaigns.
Well, the first one, and this was a repeat of a couple of weeks before, is deficits and the federal debt, mm-hmm. which, and I outlined a two-step process that, you know, that can at least manage the debt, if not get rid of it. And not only is neither candidate talking about the debt, both of them are advocating things that would make our debt crisis into a catastrophe. And it's totally unacceptable, really. I mean, they are playing with fire because we are right at the verge, statistically and otherwise, of having a massive financial panic and crisis, catastrophe, not just crisis. But they're also not talking about how to reorganize government. Look, the reason people hate government is it's too big and too invasive and too, you know, bossy, tries to tell us how to run our lives, but then it's completely unresponsive. So when you've got something that's like a heavy boot on you, but it's also completely unresponsive to what you're doing as its boot is on you, you've got a problem. Mm-hmm. And they need to take this seriously. There should be a commission to look at the Administrative Procedures Act, the civil service laws, and completely reorganize how government works. That's number two. Number three, common defense, we're in trouble. China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, terrorists, and our defense is nowhere near strong enough to handle all that if a crisis breaks out. But we also waste a ton of money because we've got a terrible procurement system, and we need to fix that. So, you know, those are the three big ones, mm-hmm. and then there's an umbrella of a lot of other things that I could get into too. But those are the three big ones.
Yeah, and as far as the debt, and you said playing with fire. You know, with our debt issues, it's kind of like playing with fire when you're already in hell, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're already in such dire straits, yeah, as far as the national debt is concerned. But neither of these candidates are fiscal conservatives in the slightest. And Trump, you know, for his part, and I know there's a lot of people who take issue with his insistence that Elon Musk kind of lead this program to cut bureaucratic waste. But let's just say you take the spark plug Musk out of the picture. Trump's proposal to kind of put together this commission to look at waste in government, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, it's actually not a bad idea. I gather it's sort of like the Grace Commission that Reagan appointed and that had some success. It's nowhere near big enough to reorganize government the way I'm talking about doing it. But, you know, it would certainly help at the margins to find, you know, the typical waste, fraud, and abuse that everybody's always talking about. But the numbers aren't huge. But, you know, good for him if he wants to do that. It won't do any good, though, if he won't touch entitlement reform, if he won't do any better than he did the first term on domestic discretionary spending, where Trump was absolutely so god-awful, it was almost criminal. And, of course, Biden has been even worse. So there's a lot of things that need to be done. And if you go back and read my last couple of pieces, I outlined some steps to start to handle it. Remember, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. And that's the sort of approach that I take is, Here's each bite.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, anytime if you're on the campaign trail and you start talking about cutting entitlements, you're just chopping off portions.
I didn't say cut. I said reform.
Reforming entitlements. Well, you're cutting off portions of voting blocks that you're hoping will turn out to vote for you. What were some of the steps you said you'd take to reform? What entitlements would you try to reform first?
Well, I mean, the two big entitlements are Social Security and Medicare, and they have to be reformed because they are going insolvent. Medicare actually will be insolvent in about 5 years, and and Social Security will be insolvent in 9 years. You know what that means? Take Social Security. In actually, it's in, yeah, 9 years. The 2033, if nothing is done, all of a sudden, everybody's benefits, by law, will be cut by 21% because Social Security will have spent down its trust fund and will only be taking in 79% of what it needs to fully fund everybody's, you know, what they're supposed to get. So unless you want to hit 2033 and suddenly have a more than one-fifth cut in your Social Security take, you got to get serious about it now. And neither candidate is doing it, and they're just going to say, oh, well, I guess we'll worry about that when it comes. Well, you know what? When it comes and you got a whole bunch of people getting 79% of what they expect, you're going to have a lot of angry people.
Yeah, it'll be a political problem then. I can't imagine living like you've done, Quinn, living in Washington, D.C., where the debt is kind of like in your face. It's like all the people walking around you, they're part of the debt. They're part of the problem. All these, draining the swamp or whatever, but all these government workers, I don't know where the cuts begin. If you were to start to make a cut with could you just eliminate entire departments, or would that be too much?
Well, I outlined this, and first of all, let me say, when I was in Washington in the 90s, obviously, I'm not there now, I'm down here. When I was there in the 90s, I worked on the Appropriations Committee. We were the committee that actually cut not just increases, projected increases in spending, we actually cut domestic discretionary spending. We paved the way for four straight balanced budgets. That was the first time it had been done in 30 years or 25 years, and it's the last time it's been done since then. So I know what I'm talking about here. I was on the committee that did it. We balanced the budget. To answer the question, the debt is now so bad, mm-hmm. and the annual deficit so bad, you cannot just handle it all at once. The first thing you got to do is stop it from getting worse. And then you stop it from getting worse, and I outline a number of steps to do that. Then you start chipping away at the size of it compared to GDP, and you do it with a whole bunch of tiny little things at first, not one great big thing. And again, if you Google Quinn Hillier Washington Examiner debt, you'll probably find my ideas.
And you know, Quinn, you talked about you mentioned the boot on the neck of American citizens, the federal boot, and you know, our Constitution. Speaking of Constitution Day, it has certain checks and balances that certainly kind of slow the actions in many good ways of the federal government. We're not like, you know, we don't have communist dictator Xi Jinping who can just snap his fingers and they start working on one thing. But then when you add in the bureaucracy and then the courts, it takes so long to do anything through the federal government. And maybe some of the cutting out of that bureaucracy would help move things along. But that ties into so many things you're mentioning here, especially national security. And you have so many different portions of the country who get jobs from certain programs and bring tons of money into their areas when maybe, you know, certain military equipment isn't as useful anymore. But Congress just keeps voting to send that money back there because it's a losing political battle in that district.
Yep.
That's why it's so important to have a commission on reorganization of government. And again, I keep saying the two key things, and it's not sexy, nobody talks about it, it's complicated, but the civil service laws, some of which go back to 1873, literally 1873, and the Administrative Procedures Act. There's a guy named Philip K. Howard, you've heard of his books, Try Common Sense, The Death of Common Sense, et cetera, et cetera. If you take some of his ideas about how to reorganize government, and again, you've got to do it by completely reforming those two, the sets of civil service laws in the 1946 Administrative Procedures Act, maybe 47, that's how you start handling all of the process about bad procurement in the military, about overarching government, about overexpensive government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, Quinn, we're going to take a quick break right now and get right back with you on the other side of this break.
All right. Quinn Hillier, QuinnHillier.com, Washington Examiner. You can check them out there. And shoot us a text, 251-343-0106. Mobile Mornings continues right after this.
Good morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. Back with Quinn Hillier in just a moment. Remember, tomorrow, Wednesday, time to get real with Shannon Hesse, qualifying broker at Wise Living Real Estate in Fairhope. Always a lot of good timely tips for you. Things in that world change daily, weekly, really. And trends change. And so she just wants to make sure you're up on it. You can check out all the podcasts, too, at our podcast page, Time to Get Real with Shannon Hesse. You can find out more about Shannon at mybaldwinagent.com.
Yeah, Federal Reserve might be making some of those changes here in these next couple of days. 8:26, Quinn Hillier joining us because it's Tuesday morning, and Quinn joins us on Tuesday mornings. Quinn, one of those things you mentioned I guess it's being ignored in many ways in this campaign is culture issues and how divisive things are kind of on both sides of the fence. We've seen the culmination in that in a couple different instances with attempts on Trump's life over the last few months. But even now, even right after an assassination attempt, you see people, you know, continuing to ramp things up.
Nobody can agree on anything.
Even minutes after news comes out. And, you know, what are your thoughts on, you know, is this fixable? Does it need to be fixed or does it just need to be toned down?
Well, it needs to be toned down. And what I say about culture is we've got to stop nationalizing it in terms of government. So many of these issues, if the federal government will just stay the heck out of it, that itself will lower the stakes. And I'm sorry, but when the federal government under Biden and before that under Obama, when the federal government suddenly starts changing the interpretations of laws that have stood for 30 years in order to interject, you know, some radical new understanding of gender or whatever. But basically, you've had laws that have been there for 30 years, and they, for their social issue reasons, want to change things administratively out of the blue. That nationalizes and politicizes so many different things in ways that get people really riled up. If the federal government wouldn't do that, you get to start to tone down the tension, handle things more at a local level, and that's the first step. And, of course, there are a lot more steps that need to be done, but just stop nationalizing everything, please.
Well, you know, we'll maybe in the when we get done with you, we'll talk. Well, we got to talk about a number of things here, including Leanna had a weird thing happen on her way to work this morning.
Yeah.
Not that you need to worry about that, but the first gender-neutral sub has been
gender-neutral sub, like submarine,
I guess,
or like Jersey Mike's.
It's funny you say that because it's happening in New Jersey. But they're commissioning a new submarine Saturday, the first vessel in its fleet designed to fully integrate male and female sailors, and that's the kind of thing that I don't know. That sounds to me like part of what you're talking about, Quinn.
Oh, I thought you were. I thought they were going to name a submarine Bruce Jenner.
The USS Jenner.
USS Jenner.
Yeah.
But Quinn, thanks for coming on with us this morning. By the way, I know we've been doing this a lot these last couple weeks, but congratulations, your New Orleans Saints seem to be the hottest team in the league.
Who dat say they're going to beat them Saints? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you got it. If folks want to read what you write, and how can they do so?
My website newsletter is back working again, so you can go to QuinnHillier.com. It gets updated once a week. It'll start getting updated this week, or you can just Google for most of stuff, Quinn Hillier and WashingtonExaminer.com.
All right. Remember, fly your copy of the Constitution today on your front porch, and it is Constitution Day. It's 8:30 on FM Talk 106.5, or just about.
Yes, and plenty to get to in this next half hour. More on this attempted assassination of Trump with Ralph or Ruth. We've heard it both ways. Also, your texts and calls, 251-343-0106. Join us.
Great point about this submarine that was built for both men and women. Seemed like a good idea at the time, didn't it, Dalton?
Yeah. Back, 14 years ago?
2010 is when they had a retrofit submarines to allow women to be on the submarines with men. And so they, you know, the accommodations having to do with washrooms, sleeping arrangements, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
They retrofit it.
Sounds like, I mean, how many changes would they have to make? It sounds like a feel-good press release more than anything. I mean,
well,
to make it female-friendly?
So...
But that's only two genders they're accounting for there. That's the problem.
hang on to that. That's very interesting. So the U.S., here's the change. This was, from the outset, this submarine was engineered and built with in mind that the women would be on there along with the guys. So it was designed for two genders from the outset. That didn't seem like a problem 14 years ago. But now it's almost obsolete,
yeah,
right?
What do you mean only two genders?
Only two? What? Vice Admiral Robert Goucher, commander of the Submarine Forces Atlantic, told NorthJersey.com. Love to read that website. And here's more.
You can.
There's more mafia hits for you, like a scoreboard. Access to top bunks and overhead valves were also designed with height, reach, and strength of women in mind. So that's part of it, too. A few of the things there that they would both have to have operational control over.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know. So you don't have to be as strong to... So that's part of it, too.
Yeah.
But you're right. Now... they're making this feel good press release, as you called it, and actually it is it's obsolete.
It's obsolete.
It's offensive.
Yeah, call me when they have the first furry filled submarine.
Exactly.
You have a bunch of furries on board.
So somebody is not going to be happy with this press release. Somebody's, and so again, 14 years ago, they thought they were doing a great thing by allowing women on the subs, and now building this submarine that is designed with both men and women in mind. And as it turns out, they're a little bit late. They're behind the curve on just two genders being represented in the making of the sub.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Go to the text line here in a minute, 251-343-0106. This attempted Trump shooter. So I guess the biggest news from the last 24 hours is that he camped there on that sixth hole at the Trump golf course. He was there for, they believe, 11 and a half to 12 hours. That's how they pinged Ryan Ruth's cell phone. He was there for about 12 hours. Of course, the Secret Service agent saw, according to the reports, saw the gun hanging out from the bushes. I'd love to see how that went down. So they said Secret Service started firing shots in his direction as soon as they saw the muzzle hanging out there. I'd like to know exactly how that went down, by the way. Imagine do you just start opening up if you're the Secret Service member? Or are you like, wait a second, is that what I think it is? But anyway, it scared this dude off to where he left everything on the premises, hopped into his SUV, and was able to make it pretty far.
He got like 40 miles away, right?
Yeah, and they get him. I think you've all seen the body cam footage of the arrest being made, and then they said once he had his first court appearance yesterday, he was smiling in that court appearance.
That was that was like when about the time we got off the air, he was making a court appearance, and the pictures were coming out of him smirking or whatever you want to call it.
And he'd been arrested at least 8 times previously. One of the charges that everyone keeps looking at and saying, what? It was back in 2002. Where he was charged with possessing a weapon of mass destruction. And I have noticed a lot of the news articles don't kind of delve into that and just leave it hanging there.
Yeah.
So back in 2002, he had this roofing business. He was in North Carolina, I believe. He was in, he was in Greensboro, North Carolina. And he was pulled over, had a standoff with police where he ended up barricading himself inside of his roofing business. They said he had a, now retired Greensboro cop who arrested Ruth back then, Tracy Folk, said the man was on cops' radar when she spotted him driving with a revoked license and pulled him over. When I got just about to the driver's door, I saw him reach into the center of the car. Of course, I shined my flashlight and looked, and he opened a duffel bag, and there was a gun in it. He never picked it up. He just kind of held his hand over the duffel bag, so I backed up and issued commands. He decided to put it in drive and drove. He drove to his offices, barricaded himself from police, and was also in possession of a binary explosive fitted with a 10-inch detonation cord and a blasting cap. Folk said she was wary of the man, so she called for backup while taking cover behind her vehicle. Said thinks they were out there for a couple of hours. I could see him inside pacing back and forth. This is back in 2002, by the way. I could see him pacing back and forth, and every once in a while he would look out the window. Once they got him to surrender, that was it. Now, he never spent, other than maybe a night in Metro or a couple nights before paying bond, he was just given, for that, a sentence of...
He didn't get no time.
Basically probation,
yeah.
A delayed sentence.
Yes.
For barricading himself with a bomb.
He barricaded, and he ran from police in the first place.
Right.
Had possession of a weapon and ran from police. That he may have had, that might have been a weapon that he had legally, but he did a lot of things to not get any time at all. But he had a damn good lawyer.
And I think from at least the reports that are coming out, pretty clear motive if these reports are to be completely believed. Mm-hmm. And I know we, as a society, have a lot of reason to not believe initial reports. We've been burned by those over the years. And a lot of people, just like the first assassination attempt, are wondering if there were other players involved in this mm-hmm. assassination attempt. But if you just take the news articles at face value, to me the motive seems pretty clear. This guy was looking for a purpose in his life. He may have found that when Russia invaded Ukraine.
Found it temporarily.
And, you know, he was saying that when he was in Ukraine, and again, after Ukraine basically, according to reports, kind of said, enough, dude, we're tired of your crap, like, move it along. He kind of moved on to Taiwan, mm-hmm. is what I was reading yesterday, and mm-hmm. Focus on them. But his thing was, he was saying he had 6,000 ex-members of the Taliban who he could bring over to fight on behalf of the Ukraine. And he had, like, a list of these Taliban soldiers' names. And people are like, well, where'd he get that? Was it accurate? Were these real people that he actually was able to move to fight in Ukraine if they were called on him to do so? But he seemed to take particular interest in Ukraine. And then he wrote this book. You know, anyone could self-publish a book these days. And the book was called The Unwinnable War in Ukraine. And in that book, I mean, he calls for the assassination of not just Putin, but the assassination of Trump. And basically gives his blessing to anyone who's reading the book to assassinate Trump. When they raided his house Sunday night, he had a Biden-Harris sticker on the back of his truck,
right.
I guess. And now neighbors are speaking out saying he was weird, his family was weird. I think one said he kept a horse in his house, a live horse. I don't know if that's been corroborated
well, like
or not.
Well, like you say, a dead horse would be actually weirder.
Yeah.
But he had a horse, and then I saw the son come out to talk about, you know, that's my...
Called him a martyr.
Yeah, almost. That's my dad. I love my dad. He's a really good guy. And it's like, well, maybe in your world he is, but nobody else is looking at him that way.
Yeah.
He was rejected by an entire country at war.
Yeah, he was. If you believe the reports, yeah, I've read a Wall Street Journal notification to you earlier. Trump gunman Ryan Ruth acted so erratically in Ukraine that his behavior was flagged to U.S. authorities. He was actually in a video. I believe it was there in Kiev. And the Azov Battalion, mm-hmm. who, remember, 10 years ago, there were big reports coming out, Azov Battalion chock full of Nazis, yep. and Nazi sympathizers, and these are bad dudes. Well, now we're all, America is backing the Azov Battalion. They've lost a lot of men. They've been fighting Russia throughout this entire thing, but they had like this, I guess you could call it a promotional video or like a hype video, where they were showing the support that they were receiving from within Ukraine. And this Ryan Ruth was there, and he was in this video wearing either an American flag shirt or bandana, or he had some kind of American flag, you know, thing wrapped around his shoulders. So he ends up in this video from Ukraine, basically boosting the morale of the Azov Battalion. And Azov came out yesterday and said, look, we are totally not associated with this guy in any form or fashion.
When you have that battalion coming out with a press release saying, he's not one of us.
Right.
I mean, that says a whole lot.
It does.
And then for him to assert that he's got that he can snap his fingers and have 6,000 members of
the Taliban.
The Taliban ready to go. He's got an ice cream cone for a brain. I mean, this guy.
Maybe. I mean, maybe he had a lot more going on than we thought or than we know.
The Taliban?
I don't know. Maybe he had connections.
Would you like to make a wager?
No, definitely not. But I'm just saying, there's a lot coming out about him, and we'll probably, hopefully, continue to see reports that delve further into this. But he seemed to have some pretty high aspirations and was making some promises, and we don't know whether he was able to follow through on those or not. We do apparently know Ukraine didn't want him anywhere near them after he spent some time there, that he was a little too erratic. But what I'm saying is the motive, if you believe these reports, pretty clear. Trump has talked about ending the war in Ukraine. The Democrats have made Trump look like as much of a Putin sympathizer as possible, right? And saying that many think, you know, they'll say that Trump is in on this with Putin. He's just going to give him the moon and the stars. And this guy was obviously pro-Ukraine to the max. In that book, he was encouraging the U.S. to strike first. Go ahead and just nuke the hell out of Russia and get it over with. That's what his kind of thought process is in this book. So you can see why he would want to eliminate Trump if he feels that Trump is going to bring an end to the war to the detriment of the Ukrainian people.
How big is the book? Do you see? I mean,
it was hundreds of pages.
Really?
At least 200. I might need to double check that.
Right. Okay. I think you're giving the guy too much credit. Now, just me.
I'm not saying he had the Taliban lined up. I'm just saying it's odd that if he had 6,000 names of Taliban soldiers, mm-hmm. and he said, hey, I can get these, you know, how much was he BSing, which I think probably a lot, if not everything, but got to look into it. I mean, who just goes over to, and I know there were a bunch of Americans, even Alabamians, that left to go fight on behalf of Ukraine. But what a strange story coming from this guy. And then going from Carolina to Hawaii, mm-hmm. back to Carolina. He finds himself down there at the golf course with Trump there, and that wasn't announced way ahead of time. But then again, Trump's at the golf course, you know, once every week or so. So, Jerry Carl said yesterday, in many ways, Trump is a man of habit. And if you're trying to avoid
being
assassination
shot.
Attempts, being habitual can sometimes get you into trouble.
To the phone lines, who do we have here?
This is James.
Hey, James.
How y'all doing this morning?
We are good. What do you want to talk about this morning?
Well, you know, basically everything you've been talking about, including security, you know, I got that many Taliban. The only problem is my payroll check won't pay for every one of them.
Mm.
I mean, that none of this makes any sense. We had people that go over that are ex-military that, for whatever reason, maybe they went through a divorce, they got out, and then they said, well, I ain't got a life. I'm just going to go ahead and become a soldier of fortune. And they go over and do help fight these battles. Of course, you also have special ops that are semi-retired, black ops that are mm-hmm. semi-retired that also go there supporting a lot of technical stuff, but they're also trained. Everybody's trained on the ground.
Well, that's what doesn't make so much sense to me is that if he's suddenly the soldier, most soldiers of fortune were at one time actual soldiers. Is that
right,
fair?
And now this is where I'm going with this, that, you know, here he is, and then have you ever seen a target downrange 300 yards?
Well,
I have. And right. I had to wear glasses to do it, I'm going to tell you, because I was nearsighted at the time. And I can tell you this right now, I just have the hardest time believing the guy spotted him. He might have spotted him after he got up. Maybe the guy got spooked and decided not to shoot, which is kind of unusual. And then he got him started running. Then he saw him and maybe shot some fire rounds off, which alerts everybody around. My protection on this level, and I've always said this, we use less of what we really need is dogs. You put four dogs out there wherever he goes outdoors. Now, this is the next. If I made the next attempt, what would I do? If I'm a bad boy, what would be the next way of getting a shot at Donald Trump? And that would be in an elevated position. Wherever he goes at this point, I'd be looking for something in an elevated position. y'all watch and see what happens if he has another attempt.
Well, well you got, know, Jerry, thank you, James.
And Jerry Carl mentioned you should be using drones out there,
drones,
which I don't know if they were or not. But he was on the sixth hole. By the time they found him, he was 500-600 yards away from Trump.
Right.
It said Secret Service member was walking ahead, mm-hmm. or maybe he was in a cart ahead. So he was much closer to the shooter than Trump was once he fired off those rounds to let people know he was there. But
he's got another outdoor event coming up.
Trump does?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see there. I think it may be in Georgia. Makes sense, you know, swing state.
This texter, any 50-plus-year-old man that dyes his hair blue should have been on some kind of watch list. I mean, if this guy wasn't on a watch list with everything he was spouting off about in Ukraine and his previous, you know, arrests and things of that nature. Let's see, Gardner, what would have happened if he didn't have the barrel sticking through the fence? Good question. Maybe the unthinkable. And this last text here, hey guys, I'm unable to listen right now. Okay, it's a pick'em question. I'll take care of that off the air.
Okay. 8:51, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. High temperatures will be in the mid-80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms, lows around 70. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with just isolated afternoon showers and thunderstorms and highs in the upper 80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
1819 News.
A lawsuit has been launched against the Alabama Secretary of State for his efforts to stop non-U.S. citizens from registering to vote and voting in elections. The lawsuit comes from voter advocacy organizations like the Campaign Legal Center, Fair Election Center, along with the Southern Poverty Law Center. The lawsuit claims that Secretary of State Wes Allen is wrongly targeting naturalized citizens in his effort to purge the voter rolls of disqualified names. Allen maintains that he is correctly identifying non-citizens through the use of alien identification numbers that are issued by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. In some cases, a non-citizen that has since been naturalized into the U.S. can update their information on a voter registration form once they've been verified. I'll be back with more Alabama stories after this.
Are you enjoying 1819 News? If so, consider joining 1819 News as a member. As a nonprofit news organization, we depend on the support of Alabamians like you. Memberships start out as little as $5 a month, and you'll get access to exclusive content only offered to our members. You'll be supporting independent journalism done by people who cherish Alabama values. Become a member today by visiting 1819news.com and clicking Become a Member. That's 1819news.com and click Become a Member today.
Singer Post Malone is coming to Alabama as part of his 2024 concert tour. Malone will perform at the Oak Mountain Amphitheater on October 15th. Malone has sold 80 million records worldwide. And an alternative rock band has canceled its planned appearance in Huntsville for September 29th. Jane's Addiction recently had an onstage fight between the lead singer Perry Farrell and guitarist Dave Navarro. As a result, the band has decided to go on a break from each other and the tour. The South Star Musical Festival was going to feature the band this month and is now looking for a replacement act. I'm Andrea Tice.
For more news affecting Alabamians, go to 1819news.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the daily newsletter.
Is your wife hot? Nothing can make your life more miserable than a hot wife. ProTent can help with a quality tent job. Don't let her drive around all summer all hot and bothered. Do the right thing. Upgrade to a quality tent installed by the professionals at ProTent Window Tinting. It's necessary for your peace of mind. Cause if mama ain't happy, no one's happy. Make an appointment with ProTent today. Call 802-1234. And with ProTent's lifetime warranty, you're ensuring she's happy for years to come. Call 802-1234.
Knowing if outsourcing your payroll would benefit your bottom line is just a simple phone call away in just a few minutes to answer questions with Coastal HR. For years, Coastal HR has taken away the burden of those necessary but time-consuming administrative tasks from hundreds of local Mobile and Baldwin County companies so they can get back to doing what they do best. Do like we did at FM Talk 106.5 and call Coastal HR today to know, instead of wondering, if outsourcing your payroll and HR can actually save you valuable time, money, and headaches. Get back to business with Coastal HR.
From the BilkTire.com traffic center, still working accidents at 181 in Pine Grove in Fairhope. I-10 eastbound at the Loxley exit. Two 18-wheelers got together on the exit ramp. University and Palmdale Drive wreckers just arrived in Wimbledon and McGregor, and I-10 westbound at the exit ramp off exit 27 clearing a wreck. Pro 10 Whittleton at 220 Portside Boulevard in Mobile, the only shop in the Mobile area offering ceramic films exclusively. They also offer a no-fault lifetime warranty that covers even a small scratch. Get the best quality tinting from Pro 10 Window Tinting. And I'm Kane with their FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Thank you, Kane. 855 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. This segment brought to you by Tobias and Comer Law, the great and local personal injury law firm. It's been helping out folks in our area for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street. They'll help guide you through your case from the time you first talk until it's over. They don't pass that responsibility on to some lawyer you've never met who may not even be from the area. You know, just because there's a billboard with your face on it around here doesn't mean you are from Mobile or Baldwin County. This week, Child Passenger Safety Week. Car crashes are a leading cause of death for children under 14. Many of those tragic and unpreventable, but many of those deaths of children are preventable, and that's to make sure that you have them properly strapped in and as safe as possible when they're in your vehicle. Of the 42,500 traffic fatalities in 2022, 3% of those were children 14 and under, and more than a third of those children in 2022 who died while riding in passenger vehicles were unrestrained. That's what I'm talking about with preventable deaths. Three important tips for you, courtesy of Tobias and Comer Law. Find the right car seat for your child based on their age and size. Make sure you install that car seat correctly. There's plenty of how-to guides and folks, local law enforcement, who will help you out with that as well. And register your car seat and sign up for recalls in case anything is wrong with that seat. For Tobias and Comer Law, you can check out everything they have online at tobiascomerlaw.com. Also, free consultation any time of the day. That number is 251-432-5001, tobiascomerlaw.com.
Squeeze for time a little bit, Leanna, but what happened to you on the way to work?
Well, on the way in, I was traveling northbound on the service road when I had someone come up behind me and flash lights at me. And so I immediately thought, okay, what have I done?
Law enforcement?
Pulling over. And then once I pulled over in a spot, I realized that the lights were white and yellow and wondered about it. The car was unmarked.
What kind of car was it?
It was a light silver van, minivan. And so I started to think about it, and I called the MPD and asked them about it and pulled off and parked somewhere else. And I guess the officer was in my area, came by, and the van took off.
He flashed his lights in a way.
So it was yellow and white lights?
Yes.
You thought it was to alert you needed to pull over.
Right.
Okay.
And it was in the grill, like, you know, like a unmarked car.
So you pulled over, and he pulls up behind you,
yes.
Right?
Does the person get out of the vehicle, or
he opened the door, but he didn't get out? And so I was just curious, and that once I started to think about it, I realized maybe I should check with law enforcement to find out if it was like real.
Now, they told you they would get back with you, but they haven't yet, right?
No, I haven't heard back yet. I'm hoping to hear back.
So that was about 7 o'clock this morning. So I, you know. Again, describe that vehicle one more time.
It was a silver van. I believe it was a Dodge. It had white and yellow lights in the front grill of it. And so.
All right. We'll see. But that
could be keep an eye out.
Yeah, that could be a story we see come up on ALA or Lanyap or later on today.
Oh, we've seen it before impersonating a officer of the law. That's kind of scary. You think about it.
It is.
Glad you're safe.
Thank you.
Jeff Poore in studio on the way next on FM Talk 106.5.